Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Jasmine Field, and I am joined here with my beautiful co-host, Miss Michelle Benoit, in the studio. Michelle, do you still look the same? I haven't seen you in so long.
We took a break for Yuricon, but we're back.
Yeah, it's so great to see you.
Thank you
all so much for being with us. Today, we're going to be talking about something that is, I think, quite essential for followers of Christ to evaluate over and over again, because the atmosphere, our life circumstances, and the unresolved matters of our hearts, they speak voices to us every single day. And understanding the psychology of the inner life, which is this week's focus, we have to know how to approach and how to submit to God, because the reality of life is that anxiety is something that is always trying to speak to us through different voices, different faces, and different circumstances. And the lie that we always believe, Michelle, is that anxiety is more powerful than God. And so today we really want to talk about, what does God say about anxiety? And how do we battle it, not with our own strength, but understanding how many weapons God has given us through his scriptures, through all of his promises, and through his presence.
I just read an article that said the amount of information we're all taking in as a society on our phones, on our pads, on the TV, if it all came in at once, it would crash any computer.
Oh my goodness.
We are exposing ourselves to so much, and so much of it is advertising, you know? So, I mean, I just looked at tops at Macy's, and now I'm inundated with ads for blouses from all these different stores.
They follow you.
Oh my gosh. Well, anxiety. If you search on Amazon, of course, there are 90,000 products you can buy to relieve anxiety.
Oh my goodness. All kinds
of books, activity books, coloring books. They promise they will break your negative spirals if you just draw, paint, color, or doodle. And you will write yourself to calm inner peace.
Wow.
Toys. There's all kinds of handheld fidget toys for adults. You can go to Amazon and sign up for online therapy. And it's
what?
Only $15 copay. Yes, through Amazon.
Oh, my word.
Bracelets. There are all kinds of pendants and bracelets.
Wow.
One was really cute. It had four natural healing stones. Excuse me. But maybe I should get the triple one that's got a dozen healing stones. There's a relaxation device you can buy and put it on your chest at night. It's only $300, and it will vibrate your sternum and bring you peace.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not even going to go into the supplements. Yes, I am. Tablets, capsules, inhalers, lozenges, roll-ons. They promise you will feel calm and relaxed, or should you get the extra strength, or the all-natural, or the homeopathic one with flowers in it. There's a vegetarian option, a gluten-free, sugar-free, or a holiday stocking stuffer. When are we stuffing people's stockings with anxiety relief medication?
You know, that says a lot about how things have changed in ways that have become so out of control. And I just think that a lot of what you're saying, Michelle, is this is the message that the world pushes. I can't actually help you with your anxiety, but I can distract you from it.
Yes.
Versus God, who says, actually, I can go into your heart. I can magnify my spirit inside of you, and I can bring you back to remembrance about the fact that I'm actually in control, and my wisdom can help you make the best decisions to stay away from things that are causing you to be continuously discontent and uneasy.
Well, you know, I'm kind of making fun at some of this stuff, tongue in cheek, but we don't take the issue of anxiety lightly because children's anxiety and depression is on the rise like never before.
Mm-hmm.
Even before the pandemic, they were rising, but now so many people feel so lonely from the pandemic. Even though it's been 5 years, we're still suffering the effects of isolation. 20% of children and adolescents have a diagnosable anxiety disorder that interferes with their daily activities, and it's even higher for adults.
Mm.
So we're kind of tongue-in-cheek about all these helps and reliefs. But I love John Delony, and I forgot to bring his book. His last name is D-E-L-O-N-Y, and he has a book on redefining anxiety. And he says, our mental health is complex, all right? But our culture has made anxiety into something that it's not. And for the majority of people who face anxiety, the majority, now not if it's a chemical imbalance or something, that's not it. But our generalized, localized anxiety is just an alarm. He says it's nothing more, it's nothing less. Now imagine if your alarm goes off in the morning and you toss it out the window. Well, you solved the problem, but what do you do tomorrow morning?
Right.
Or you put the pillow over your head.
Right.
You know, or you cut the cord. Or you do something. Well, you're just blocking the alarm that you set. This is important to you. We're not anxious about things that aren't important to us, right?
Right.
You know, so it's our body's way of telling us something's wrong.
Yes. And we need that. We need that in order to gauge whether or not we should continue moving forward in what we're doing. I know sometimes that can really protect us. We've all had those moments. Maybe we've been scrolling too long, or we do start to believe the voices of whatever page we're on, Temu, Amazon, saying, I am the answer to your problem.
Yep.
And we have to really remember, Michelle, yes, it's okay for us to have something about us that is designed by God that says, alarm, alarm, stay away from this. Or if you dive deeper into this, there are consequences that are going to happen. And maybe you will or will not be the same person by the time this is said and done. So we have to remember, none of this is out of God's realm. God allows us to have different feelings. He has different feelings. You know, this is how we are like him. But at the same time, he doesn't want us to go outside of him to deal with and to have a ministry to these feelings. Now, I agree with you that there are a lot of different options out there, and some of them can actually be, you know, a resource to consider. Maybe it is something that helps a child, like you say, to touch something, and maybe that brings them peace. Or, you know, even when we're doing a longer discussion in our homeschool, I give the kids some pop-its because I know that they're listening, even though their hands are moving on things, because they have a lot of energy. They could be a little uneasy about something from the day before. That's okay.
Absolutely.
And I want them to understand that you're still a believer in Christ if this is something that you battle, because God is always there to give you a fresh word, to walk through it with you. And he has a different amount of patience for you than you have for yourself, and a different amount of patience than people have for you. And thank God for that. This holy peace of heaven where God says, let's slow down. Let's return to me and let's walk through this together. The answer never has been the click of a button, and it never will be.
It's not going to be a pill or a machine either. And John Delony makes 4 points. If you're a Christian, it's okay that you're anxious. You're not broken. You don't need to be fixed. It's not a disease that must be cured or eradicated. It's not caused by genetics. You're not like this because of your mom. And you should not be avoiding it or silencing it. We need to walk towards our anxiety. He says to suppress it, to avoid it, or to medicate it is actually harmful.
Wow. You know, have you ever had that process happen to you, Michelle, where you'll say, I'm thinking about this so much, so I just have to stop thinking about this. I just have to stop thinking about this. I just have to stop thinking. And what happens? You start thinking about it even more.
Are you kidding?
Right? Because you're actually not the solution, but you keep trying to put your hands on it. Because what is your heart saying? I want to regain emotional control.
Right.
That's really what's going on.
Right.
And it's not always as simple as pick up your Bible, read a verse, and everything is going to feel fine.
You know,
that's sometimes what we make it sound like, but that's just not the way that it goes.
There are no pat simple answers. Now, one of our listeners on
Facebook Live here,
thank you, is saying, is reminding us of 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you.
Absolutely.
And we love that.
Yes.
We love that. But just to walk up to a friend who's very anxious and say, well, you're just not casting your cares.
Yes.
I think she's going to throw her coffee cup at your head.
And well, I think that there's something to be said about somebody who meets you where you are first.
Yes.
And that's who God is, right?
Yes.
You can have that prayer, whether you're gripping a steering steering wheel or crying in a corner saying, God, I just need you next to me right now. I just need you going through this with me right now, rather than me having the pressure of not meeting a standard, rather than me feeling self-conscious that maybe God is disappointed in me because my faith is just not strong enough right now. No, God knows that we're broken and he knows that we are feeble and he knows who he made. So he actually presents an invitation. The Bible says in Psalms that he actually stays close to the brokenhearted. He's not running away from you.
Beautiful.
But he wants you calling out to him so that he can fill you with his presence or bring you to a person, as you said, who can share an experience with you. Maybe you just need to sit down, have a cup of coffee, and remember that there is life past this moment.
Oh my gosh. Well, our topic for today is, what does the Bible say about anxiety? And is there anyone in the Bible who was anxious?
Mm.
Well, I guess Samuel was anxious. In 1 Samuel 16, Samuel's relationship with Saul is irreparably fractured. They're never going to be friends again. Saul's been rejected because he hasn't paid attention to the word of God. And yet, the first thing in that chapter, God tells Samuel, go down to Bethlehem and anoint the new king.
Mm.
And Samuel's like, I don't think so. Because what we don't realize is Samuel's hometown is on the road to Bethlehem, but you have to pass through Saul's hometown to get there. So that's what made the mission risky. He's going to walk right by Saul's house, Saul's town. And God said, oh, just bring a big cow and it will call it a sacrifice.
I love it. I love the wisdom of God because it's just, it's so unlike my thoughts. You know, I like to stay in this place of logic. I like to do what has worked before, you know, and I think it's so good that we have these stories in the Bible about Samuel, about the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
When we just have moments where we say, God, I'm just not so sure your promises are quite sufficient for this specific situation, it actually removes your worship in certain ways because you can't believe that God is all powerful, all knowing, and always present, but then doubt that he is capable of helping you in these surprising situations to you. But again, they're situations that he already knew were coming and he can see how it's all going to work together. So what we're really getting anxious about, Michelle, is the fact that now I am in this unpredictable moment and I'm not sure exactly what to do. I can just feel the weight of the unpredictability.
Yeah.
And God says, that's why I'm here, because I actually have wisdom for you. It might sound strange. It might not be natural, but I am Yahweh, just as he told the Israelites. And so if I've promised it and I've said it, you can trust it. Do not go by your sight. Have faith in me.
Beautiful. Well, in the next person that's anxious in the Bible is in that same book, 1 Samuel, David.
Mm.
And he's on the run from Saul. First they were friends, now they're enemies. Not David's fault that these girls are singing these crazy songs on YouTube, you know. But it lasted, you know.
You are so funny, Michelle.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
But you know, his running was anywhere, the minimum was 7 years to a maximum of 15 years of running. When you're already anointed king, like, really, God?
Wow.
Really? Why are you doing this? Why didn't you just wait the 15 years and then deal? No, this is all part of it, because the Psalms are full of the songs of David crying out for relief from this very anxiety, you know? And what about Jesus? We just look in Matthew 26. He is experiencing profound, destabilizing physical distress and anxiety in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it says, overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death.
Wow.
You know, I've had an anxiety attack or two in my life. Mm-hmm. I've suffered from clinical depression.
Yes.
You wouldn't know it because I'm so ridiculously, annoyingly happy all the time. But we have those ups and downs. Everyone does.
Yes.
And Jesus understands.
Yes. And I love that. I love that the freedom that you're experiencing now is knowing that just because I have had these moments, they really are just moments. They can feel like these long, elongated experiences where you just kind of lost yourself in the experience. But I love what you're saying. Yes, this is a part of my journey, but this isn't my identity.
I love that.
And you did not ongoingly fellowship with that, saying, now this is who I am. Who am I going to become? Is God going to embrace me now? Have I disappointed him? Have I disappointed other people? You know, it's all part of walking with God. And I love that relatability that you just said, you know, asking yourself, has Jesus ever felt how I felt, can really be comforting to us during moments where we just don't know what's next and we can't even handle what's before us. Mm-hmm. But God is not asking us to switch positions with him mm-hmm. when we feel like we've lost control. Mm-hmm. And that's so much of what the world tells us. And a lot of its messages, you have to put your hands on your life and create what you want it to be. And as soon as you hit these walls, as soon as you don't like it, these are the ways that we can befriend you. Not because we care about what happens to you, but because we want your attention. We want your money. We want things that you contribute to give us higher ratings. It's actually about us, but we're going to package it as though it's like you.
Yep.
It's about you. And it's not about us. You know, it's not. And again, this is not saying that there's nothing out there and there aren't resources that people share that can be helpful, but we need to consult God first and foremost about whatever we are reaching towards, because there's so much in the atmosphere trying to convince us that, hey, this is okay too. And nobody loves us the way that God loves us. And he loves us enough to say, stay away from that. Go to your word, or stay away from that. And you make sure you get to this service, midweek service, while you have all this on your shoulders, everything is attacking you. The solution is getting around the body and hearing the word of God. It is not burrowing yourself on a website and saying, please, God, let this be enough.
I love that. Anxiety is not a permanent condition, just like your alarm clock going off in the morning. It doesn't go off all day long.
Mm-hmm.
It serves this purpose.
Yes.
But it may start with anger, and that's a good red flag for us. What am I angry about? Mm-hmm. And when we get angry, it shows that we had an expectation.
Yes.
And our expectation is way off the mark from reality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if our expectation was low, like, oh, no one's going to do anything for me on my birthday, and someone sends you a card or has flowers delivered to your house, woohoo, you feel joy because that gap is filled going up, but if it's coming down, if you expected a party on your birthday and all you got was a card and flowers, then you're mad.
Well, that's the truth. You know, like a lot of times when things don't go the way that we think that they should go, then we start not just doubting the person, we start doubting our faith, we start doubting God. Everything becomes a big question mark. And this is actually what happened to the Israelites, Michelle, when they were in slavery and they were waiting for God to deliver them. And what did God say? He kept referencing who he was and what he promised before they were even in this situation. This is all about me, because I am actually the one who's in control here. You're confused because you have an idea of how this is supposed to go. And we have to let go of that over and over again. Sometimes I think over and over again in one day.
Yes.
Okay, God, I'm resubmitting. I'm resubmitting the day to you. I'm resubmitting the afternoon to you. And I wanted to read this to you because this is actually a portion from our beloved pastor, our founding pastor, Carl Stevens. This is a devotional from the Throne Daily Devotional. And he actually says that it's really important for us to understand how important it is not to transfer our worship to the promises of God, forgetting the importance of the promiser.
Oh, nice.
In his daily book, his daily devotional book, he emphasizes you have to see the difference. See who remembers what God says and see who forgets. And you will see the difference between the curse and the blessing. One waits with the promise while the other allows the passing of time to nullify his belief in the promise. Israel did not wait with God for what had been promised in Exodus chapter 6, verse 1 through 9. When they did not receive what God had promised, they proved that they were not occupied with the promiser. Instead of being occupied with the plan and the purpose of the promiser, anxiety became their occupation, and they lived without life and without a promise. Situations will not give you patience to wait for the promise. Only fellowship in the promiser's own patience gives you the grace to discover him in the seeming delays of his plan.
Oh, that's so good. You know, we've got a great comment on YouTube that facing anxiety and allowing God to take those thoughts from us is nearly as difficult as bridling our tongue. Mm-hmm. And we agree with that. Yes. You know, it's a spiritual discipline.
Yes.
But anxiety starts with usually a physiological response that we are not in control of. Mm-hmm. You know, something mm-hmm. happens, you're confronted something, you find out something, you get a phone call, you get an email, and your heart starts going, and yes. it's hard to breathe, you feel threatened, and that flight or fight response mm-hmm. kicks in, which is a good response, but sometimes it's out of proportion to the situation.
Yes.
And usually what I like to do is sit on the couch with a bar of chocolate and ignore everything and everybody. But that only causes anxiety about more things, like whether my pants are going to fit tomorrow. You know?
You know, we have the natural response before the spiritual one.
It comes first, and we got to be okay with that.
Yes.
Like, okay, I've lost my mind. Now what can we do, Lord?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But our expectations, we can get very anxious in our marriage because mm-hmm. we have expectations. Like, and sometimes they're unconscious. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. What do you mean we're not going to chop down a Christmas tree on Black Friday? That's what my family always did. Mm. What do you mean you're not going to spend this much money on this? You know, or they're unrealistic or they're unspoken.
Yes.
You know, we want our husband to do something for us. He doesn't do it, but we never said, you know, or they're unagreed upon. Mm-hmm. You know, if something floats in the air and we're like, well, I want, you know, maybe someday we could do this. And you meant Friday.
Yes. You know? Yes. But yes.
He doesn't know.
Right.
You know, and we sometimes create our own little hamster wheels that mm-hmm. we spin on. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we have to be honest about our feelings with ourselves.
Yes.
You know, yes. feelings may be very sincere, authentic, and valid, but they may not be accurate.
Yes.
Or we have to verify them.
Right. Absolutely. You know, we had done a show maybe 3 years ago, Michelle, focusing on marriage, and we had recommended a book, Love and Respect.
Yes. Yes. I'm reading it now with yes. my daughter-in-law.
It's an amazing book. And you know, one of the things that's emphasized in that book is the crazy cycle.
Yes.
You know, that's how he introduces the book. And essentially what he says is when you realize you're in this cycle of going back and forth and now you're against each other, you have to stop the conversation, stand back, even if you're alone for a few minutes, and ask yourself the most important question: do I really think the intention of this person's heart was to hurt me? Did your husband truly stand up and say, I want to make your Christmas so awful this year? That's actually the goal of my life. So now we're not going to do this thing that you've done as a family tradition.
Yep.
And the way that you can feel it in your emotions as a female is like a dagger, because that's how we're designed. But if we are free to be in our design and have God check that, then we have to give our husbands, our friends, our children the same freedom. Because in God's grace, there is so much freedom to fail. Mm-hmm. Because one of my friends had told me once, I never forgot this. She said, you know, God doesn't fall off the throne just because you do something wrong.
Yep. I love you
know?
That.
And we have to remember that, you know, for us, our expectation should be in him, not in the person.
Yes.
We are always going to disappoint. You know, I remember even Pastor Shibeli preaching years ago in a Baltimore service, our missions pastor. And he said, somebody came up to me privately after one of my messages and said, you know, I'm a little disappointed in you.
Oh.
And he looked right in their face and he said, well, what did you expect? Of course you're going to be disappointed. I'm not going to meet every expectation. It's not my job to do that. My job is to follow Christ, warts and all, and he loves me. He accepts me. And that's my frame of reference. That's what I go back to. Is that what you're going back to in the way that you love me? Or is this just about you singling out and criticizing my faults because I don't meet your expectations? And why is there so much weight on the fact that I don't meet your expectations? Mm. Maybe there's something else that you and God need to be resolving together, you know? So we have to have this freedom and this grace according to how God defines it, because the failures are on the way, but that doesn't mean there isn't joy. That doesn't mean you're not growing or another person isn't growing. Transformation takes time, and it takes a lot of courage to take these things to prayer and uncover yourself and say, God, I wish I was here in my faith, but I'm not. And you know what God is saying? I'm just happy you came.
I love that.
I'm just happy we're together today. I'm so glad you're turning towards me because I know a lot of you wants to turn another way. And I know as soon as you wake up, there is a battle for me to win you, but I want to.
You know, our expectations for holidays, our expectations for our marriages can start anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being oversensitive.
Yes.
You know, someone doesn't say hi to us.
Oh my gosh. I'm not coming back to this church. I can't believe they didn't say hi to me. There's so much more on the way.
We have to acknowledge our feelings, take them before the Lord. I love what Hezekiah did when he got a very upsetting email. He spread it out before the Lord. We don't put our feelings in the driver's seat.
Right.
We don't say, go ahead, punch it, anger.
Right, right.
But we also don't stash them in the trunk either because they're going to rot there.
Right.
You know, what about over-functioning? Martha. We always have to go to Martha, you know. Having people over for dinner.
Oh, my gosh. Begin the checklist. But, you know, even in that, Michelle, I remember listening to a homeschool podcast and the speaker saying specifically, if you would just embrace the fact that people need to see you as a real person and perhaps a lot of the preconceived notions that they have about you need to be broken so that that intimacy with them can be reached, then don't worry about it so much. Of course, there's a measure of, you know what, whether or not you were coming, this is how I feel comfortable in my home.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm trying to paint a picture because I want to uphold the expectation of me that I think you have, that's when we have a problem.
Yeah.
You know, I have to be able to breathe. Even if there are some flaws that you're going to see that I wish weren't there, if God accepts me for who I am and he knows much more about me than you, then I have to be comfortable and build my identity under that grace and under that freedom and accept whatever you think, whatever you're going to say, because my identity is not rooted in your opinion. It's not. And you're free to have that. But you know what? I'm at the point now where I offer who I am and I'm so grateful to build relationship, but I have to say over and over again, I can't control what this person already thinks about me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't control that. You know, I want this to be a sweet time of fellowship. So rather than me trying to focus on how to make sure I'm managing how the entire time goes with a person, I'm trying to cultivate God in my heart. Okay, God, I want you in the middle of this visit. This isn't something I always get to do. Even if it's one or two gestures that makes them say, wow, I feel very welcome here. I just want your spirit in between us. I want to focus on you, you know? And there's so much muck that is cleared when we just return to the simplicity of Christ. Jesus, what do you have to say? Oh, you actually don't even care about this. So why do I care about it this much? Help me, Lord, magnify what's most important and help me to fellowship there.
Beautiful. Well, we can just imagine Jesus is at Martha's house and the whole courtyard is filled with people and Martha's in the kitchen and she keeps trying to get Mary's eye. You know, she moves to the side.
The look.
Maybe a little, you know, and it's not working. She's a wreck. She's anxious. Jesus says you are worried and upset about nothing, about many things. The Message Bible says you're getting yourself worked up over nothing.
Like, oh, I love that.
You know,
that's
and
so good.
It's her anxiety. She's trying to project that onto poor Mary. Mary's not having any of it, you know, and rather than caring about people, Martha tried to take care of people and meet all their needs. Like she's putting on a 4-course meal, you know, when maybe just peanut butter sandwiches would have been fine. In the corner, make your own.
Yeah, I know. Oh my gosh.
I'm not putting these on trays, people. No toothpicks today.
I love you. I want you here, but this is how we're doing it today.
Yeah, no fluffy little toothpicks, you know, come on. We get worked up over those kinds of things.
Yes, we really do. We
do. You know, and we get it.
I know that when Jesus is talking on the Sermon on the Mount, you know, that's something that he really emphasizes to everyone listening. You know, Matthew 6:34 says it clearly. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Oh my.
And isn't that true?
Yep.
Our days have so much fullness every single day because we're attached to different people, different responsibilities. Even if we're not trying to be busy, We just end up trying to make sure that we are meeting whatever need and staying committed to whatever we said yes to. Sometimes it's even protecting a no that mm-hmm. we may have given, yes. you know, and we have yes. to remember that, like, if God himself is emphasizing, hey, guess what? You need grace for today. And then tomorrow we'll talk again. Yes. And then tomorrow we'll talk again, because there's so much in each day and we cannot handle it the way that he can. And that's okay. He's never asking us to, you know, so if God is saying, just make sure that you and I have our time and I will feed you what you need for all that's coming today, then we have to really honor that. I was listening to a podcast, Michelle. It's from a ministry called Walk with the King Ministries. And this is like a grandpa talking to so many saints just about so many different things. It used to be on the air for years, but he was saying that he had an encounter with a doctor. He was on a missions trip. And he went to aid this doctor and kind of counsel her patients for the weekend. And he said the number of different cases and issues with people that he saw come through that clinic in the weekend, he couldn't believe how calm she was. And he asked her, how do you stay so calm in the midst of all of this intensity? And she just smiled quietly, walked away. And then her roommate whispered next to him and she said, I know the secret. She actually prays through the day early in the morning mm-hmm. so that as it comes to her, she knows that it's covered. And I just thought about that, like what a way to approach our anxiety. I'm not just going to say these general, Lord, bless the day, cover the kids, cover my husband, but I'm going to think about that work situation and say, God, when they're together, please give him wisdom. Help him to hear you the way that Samuel heard you. Make it really, really clear that you're calling his name, you know,
that's good.
Or maybe my kids are battling something in a preschool or a daycare or co-op, you know, making friends or knowing how to forgive, you know, God, just fill them in that moment. Let it be a supernatural moment that becomes real. And my child knows something was working through me, you know, go through the morning, the afternoon and the evening and know that you submitted all of those big details to God. So whatever happens, even if it's something unpredictable, you can say the Lord and I have spoken today. And I know that this is either something he's allowing or something that he's showing me.
Beautiful. You know, one of the greatest men of the past century was Winston Churchill.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. we all know that nothing can affect you more than your parents' opinion of you mm-hmm. or a criticism of mm-hmm. you. And he never, this great man, never had his father's approval. In fact, many people said they couldn't understand why his father hated him.
Oh, no.
He was sent away, Winston Churchill, at 4 years old.
Wow.
To go to boarding school. And once his dad had given him a gold watch, he was so proud of it, so happy as a young man, he lost it by a pond.
Oh, no.
It fell out of his pocket. He immediately jumped in the water, looked for it, couldn't find it, hired 26 men to dig a channel and drain the pond. He borrowed a fire engine and pumped the rest of the water out of this pond, found the watch, sent it to a jeweler in London and had it cleaned and repaired. And when he told his dad what had happened, his dad said, well, that's just proof of what an idiot you are.
Oh my goodness.
And we're just like stunned. How can someone not recognize someone's effort?
And that's, you know? I love that you said that. I love that, Michelle, because you know what? Sometimes we can't deliver on the expectation.
No.
But we are very hopeful that you see our heart.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And we have to see it in other people as well, because sometimes that is what brings the peace in the situation. Hey, listen, we didn't actually reach the end goal, but I saw how hard you were working because of your regard for me or your love yes. for me. And we have to choose to let that be enough and let the outcome be different. Okay, this isn't going to go the way I thought. Yes, I'm disappointed. As you said, I'm not going to try to tuck those feelings away as though they don't exist or even, you know, shake them off with a pretend smile and act like I'm not affected. But I can meditate on what the most important component of this situation is. But that is intentional and deliberate, and it takes a lot of practice.
It does. You know, and Winston Churchill didn't, in fact, his biographers say his father's hatred and disappointment spurred him to be an encourager to other people.
Wow.
So that was incredible.
Wow.
Something besides oversensitivity that causes anxiety over expectations is overspending.
Uh-oh.
There's something called the Diderot effect.
Uh-oh.
And this gentleman in the 1700s received a beautiful scarlet dressing gown, and he loved it. He was thrilled, and he said it ruined his life.
Wow.
He even wrote an essay called Regrets for My Old Dressing Gown, or A Warning to Those Who Have More Taste Than Fortune. Well, he got this beautiful dressing gown, and it's scarlet. Can you imagine? He's
wow.
sitting in his living room, and he looks at his rug and says, oh, I really need a better rug. So he orders a new rug.
Oh.
And then he looks at the chair he's sitting in,
oh,
and he goes, well, gosh, you know, new rug, new dressing gown, I need a new chair. He got a leather chair. He looked at his desk in the room and said, well, that is shabby and wobbly. He got a new desk and spent himself into debt.
Wow.
And it's called the Diderot effect.
Mm.
You know, and imagine you get invited to a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
You're all excited. Your friend is getting married and you're invited. It's going to be fun. Well, you need a new dress.
Yeah.
You need a new dress. Well, then those Spanx, you got to get new Spanx because your old ones are not going to do it. Well, then shoes. You yeah. cannot wear your old shoes. All right, you've got to get a cute purse to match the jewelry. This has a neckline that just needs...
And see, all of this sounds essential to me.
Oh, yes, I know you understand completely, but some of our listeners are like, what's wrong with these two? Well, I mean, you got to get new hair.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get a hair. And then there's those cute sunglasses on your way out, you know, and eyeshadow and lipstick, and you've spent $200 before you've even gone to the wedding.
Wow.
But it was all reasonable, like the Diderot effect, reasonable purchases that you just were convinced you needed.
Mm-hmm.
But debt causes anxiety.
It does. It does. And you know, it's so incredible, Michelle, because sometimes I think that if we just still ourselves, if we just still ourselves and we say, today I'm going to allow the day to be simple.
Beautiful.
What do I need today?
Beautiful.
What do I need? I need time with God, probably need some time on my own to do something that I really like. And I need to feel at peace with the responsibilities that I'm connected to.
Yes.
That's all we need.
Mm-hmm.
That is all we need. We do not need the extra things. Yes, they are a preference. No, they are not always bad. But I love this illustration that you gave because it always leads to your heart saying, actually, you should do everything you can to play into this discontentment. So there's this brewing of discontentment that
yes.
happens simultaneously with do something about it now. Do something about it now. The sunglasses are right there. And we can justify this so much. And I think this is why I remember learning about self-government in Bible college. And I never forgot it because I said, oh my gosh, is that what this is called? Is that what it's called when I say, okay, God, you follow me. My ideas are great. And don't forget to bless me in the process.
Oh,
that's
my.
What it is.
What a prayer.
You know, and that's,
oh,
and
my.
We don't realize we can say this ongoingly in so much of our life. God, what I see is enough. So you move with me, you know, because constantly stepping away and allowing ourselves to be submitted, it's difficult. It's not what we want. It's not natural, but it is what's best for us because God is saying, do you know I had plans for that money? I had plans for someone you haven't even spoken with yet and a need that you could have blessed them with. And instead it went towards all of these preferences rather than the body working together in the way that I've designed it, you know, and we don't have to shame ourselves. You know, we have
No.
to go through things sometimes to realize this was a poor decision, but what am I going to learn from it? What am I going to take from it? God, what are you saying here? You see my struggle. What are you trying to impart here? Because self-government is definitely something that I favor, but your way is higher. Your way is different. And you know, even in the stories that you shared before, God can work it all together. You know, we're sitting here right now talking about Winston Churchill because God still did something with it. But sometimes our heart does get broken in the process.
It does. You know, we want you to pay attention, dear listeners, dear friends, to the red flags.
Yes.
You're unfocused. You can't get it together. You feel pressured. You're striving. You're unsure of your identity,
mm-hmm.
bitter over hurt, struggling with fear, blaming yourself, blaming others, no passion. Mm. Okay, fine. I sat down. I read the Word of God. Click.
Yep. Check mark.
You know, you feel powerless and prayerless, and envy is like coursing through your veins. Mm. You know, we got to stop and turn to the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you recognize that you are on a hamster wheel.
Yes.
You think you're going places, but you're just going.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and I had something that happened to me a couple of weeks ago, and I thought of it as a loss. And it started anxiety, and my identity got involved, and I was going crazy. And I said, okay, I'm in a class called Spiritual Disciplines on Monday nights with Pastor Schaller, and our book that he's assigned us says the benefits of journaling. Well, I don't want to journal because I don't want all my spiritual vomit to ever be seen by anyone else. So no, I'm not journaling. No one's going to see how bad it really gets. But I sat down, I just grabbed a notebook off the shelf, and I wrote down, okay, I have lost XYZ. And then immediately I looked at what I wrote. I said, well, no, I didn't lose it. And I crossed out, I have lost. And I wrote, okay, I am sad because God took away XYZ. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's not what really happened here either. I X'd it out. Now 90 seconds has gone by. And then I sat there and I'm like, okay. And I wrote, I am happy because in taking away XYZ, maybe God has something better for me. And I told my son that this morning, and he said, Mom, he goes, you just gave yourself 3 years of counseling in 2 minutes, you know? And then I took that sheet of paper and I ripped it into a million pieces and threw it in the basket, and I'm done.
Wow.
I'm done. And what to me was a loss is just a closed door.
Yes.
It's like, oh, okay. But there's another door in front of that.
Yes.
And what is it going to be? What is God going to have for me?
Yes, I love that.
So when we deal with our anxiety, we're not left in a barren wasteland. Mm-hmm. We are left in a promised land.
Yes.
You know?
Amen.
And what can God do with us?
Wow. Yeah. I love that, Michelle. I love that reminder just to trust. What does God say in Proverbs, right? He says, trust in the Lord. Right? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your
strength. And stop worshiping your own understanding.
Yes.
Because I will admit there are times I am in love with my own thoughts, mm-hmm. especially when I'm angry.
Yes.
You know, or I'm one-upping someone.
Yes.
Or I'm the victim.
Yes.
And all sorrow comes to me. No, stop that.
Wow.
Stop that. Grow up.
I love that. I love that. I love that this is not about watching the barometer and saying, okay, do you need God today? Do you need him? Do you need to submit today? You know, coming to that reality where we just go ahead and acknowledge from the beginning, since I do need God and I can hear it because my thoughts are trying to convince me that I don't.
Yes.
Since I need God, I'm going to protect the time I have with him today. And I'm going to protect what goes in front of my eyes. I'm going to protect what goes in my ears. And for the things that I can't protect, I'm going to trust God to purify my mind once again and to filter out all that needs to not remain on me when I rejoin my family, when I walk into the workplace, and when I sit before his feet again. I wanted to end with this quote, Michelle, that I thought was a really great reminder for us. It's by a Christian author. His name is Jerry Bridges. And he says, yeah, isn't he awesome? He says, our worst days are never so bad that you are beyond the reach of God's grace. And your best days are never so good that you are beyond the need of God's grace.
I love that. You know, we just want to shout out to the people who've joined us on YouTube and Facebook. I'll tell you all your beautiful comments. I've been reading them as we've been speaking, and we're so encouraged. Thank you so much.
Thank you all so much. Oh, man, we love being here with you all. We hope you were blessed by today. Trust in the Lord. He created you. He has a plan for you. And even when you don't understand it all, he is working. Amen. So thank you all for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And be sure to join us for our next show tomorrow as we continue talking about the psychology of the inner man. We love you all. Have a blessed week. We'll see you next time.